Praise God. So good to see everyone in the house. Amen. Let's stay standing. And we're going to read the word of God. Let's go over to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 14. I think this will be my final message on the Aftermath series. You know, we've been talking about after Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected. We're talking about what happened. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 14. And we know what's happening here. Well, if you don't, this is when the layman got healed at the gate of Beautiful. And now they're standing before the council and they're giving defense for working the works of God. Amen. And this is now the council makes a decision and they're now telling them what to do. Who knows? People want to tell the church what to do. They want to tell the church what to do. They want to tell the church how to do it. But we cannot listen to what the rulers of the world has to say. We listen to the Holy Spirit. We listen to what Jesus commands us. He commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to how many people? All people. Amen. Creating disciples. Amen. Verse 14. And it says, and seeing the man who had been healed, standing with them. Where was the man? The man was right there. The evidence was in their midst. Amen? The evidence was in their midst. They could say nothing against him. Who knows that God has a way of backing up his people? God has a way of backing up his church. God has a way of standing up for his own. Amen? And they could not say anything, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So what they did, they then put Peter and John out of the council. They say, exit for a moment, give us a few minutes to come up with a solution. How are we going to silence the church? How are we going to stop the move of God? How are we going to limit the impact of the people of God? I want to tell you today, you're standing in the house of God. Do you know that the enemy is busy trying to stop you? The enemy is busy cooking, seeking, using his agents to slow you down and stop your progress. He is seeking to put the spirit of delay in your life and hold you back and hold you down. So whenever you get tripped up in life, don't say, oh God, this was just a mishap. No, the enemy is like a roaming lion. He walks about seeking to devour who? You and I. He's not devouring his own people because they're carrying out his word. Listen, the army does not shoot their own. Accidents happen, it's called friendly fire. But what they do, they go out to destroy the opposition. So if you're opposing the devil, what you think the devil is going to do with you? Pat you on the back, say go. No, he is out to slow you. Tell your neighbor, it's time for damage control. Tell him, neighbor, it's time for damage control. Listen, in this season, the devil's gonna see how he can control you. How he can, hello, he's out to control the church. Wake up! The enemy is out to pat you to sleep. The enemy is out to give you the TV show to keep you in comfort that you don't pray. The enemy, come on, musicians, help me. The enemy is out to get you, oh my God, confused about your troubles. The enemy is out to get you fearful. Sometimes we become so fearful we don't pray. We become fearful we don't even worship when we come to church because of all the things that is built up in your mind, all the burdens that you came with. You don't even have the strength to praise God. But I came to look for five people that would defy the devil, that would defy self, that would defy principalities and powers, and press into praise, press into worship. Understand who you are this morning. Know the that you're a child of God. I don't preach for numbers. I preach because God has given me a word. I'm here to tell you this morning, you got to be strong in the Lord. Joshua 1:9, he says, didn't I tell you, Joshua? He was reminding him what he said to him in verse 6. He said, Joshua, haven't I told you to be strong in the Lord? Didn't I tell you to not look at the face of your enemies, but look at the face of your God? Stare into my face. What do you see? Look into my eyes. What do you see? Look at my hand. What do you see? I am ready. I am able. I got all power. I got all might. I got all dominion. And nothing will be able to stop you. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. You see, just because you don't see the angels doesn't mean that there's angels. There are not angels around you. The book of Hebrews said, we have not come to Mount Zion with smoke. We have not come to Mount Zion with fire, come to Sinai rather, but we have come to Mount Zion with myriads of angels, meaning you cannot count the amount of angels that surround you. When he said, I'll give my angels charge over you, you're picturing one and you're picturing two, but I want to tell you to picture millions and thousands that is standing with us, because if it was not true, the enemy would have stopped the church a long time ago. But I'm here to say no. But God says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. Guys, work, work, work in prayer, work in praise, work in an old Kadabasata, pray in the spirit, understand your authority. Wake up. They told him, go outside. They question among themselves, what shall we do with these men? Every child of God, the enemy should be saying, what shall we do with this one here? What shall I do with this one over here? What shall I do with that one over there? She's 75 years old. And the more she gets older, the more she prays. The more she gets on fire. He is 55. I thought I would have taken him out when he was 35. But every day he prays more. And he gets more on fire for God. She is 60 years old. And I said at 30, I will take her out. And I will stop the destiny in her life. But he couldn't do it. I want to tell you, church, more are they that are with us than those who are against us. Let the enemy keep planning, but we keep moving. Let the enemy keep plotting, we keep moving. Oh, katadabasandadamashaya. I'm looking for 5 people that could stir, that you're gonna go this week and make a difference. Make a difference in your home. Make a difference on your job. Make a difference in your school. Make a difference. March out, church. I'm talking to you online. It is time for us to arise. Arise and shine. For our light has come. We're not waiting for light. We're not waiting. No, the spirit of light is in us. What shall we do with them? What shall we do with these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through who? Through them. Who does God want to use? God wants to use us. Who does God want to use? It's not your neighbor. God wants to use you and you and you and you. God wants to use every one of us. Every one of you that stand in this room this morning, there's an assignment on your life.
But if you're going to fulfill your assignment, you got to go after that one that designated the assignment to your life. Too often we change and we try and we push and we pull and we try to make things happen for us. You try to go to this school, you try to go to that school, you try this career, you try that career. I want to tell you this morning, try Jesus. Submit to him. Say, God, what it is you have for me, what it is I must do for you. He said, I will open doors that no man can shut, and the doors that need to be shut, I'm gonna fling them shut, and no devil in hell will be able to open them. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? We have come to Mount Zion. We didn't come to church to play. You came to church for me to make a deposit in you, that you might go out and you may shine as the light of the world. You might shine as the salt of the earth. You may become all that God has purposed for you, church. Rosa da Bacana. Yeah. This is what they said. A notable miracle has been done through them. It is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. I want to tell you, when God gets ready, and let me change that up. When you are ready to submit to God, because God is always ready, He's always able, and He does not change. Yes, there are times and seasons, but times and seasons that are in God's hand will never take effect in your life if you never submit. That the times and seasons that are in God, listen to me, that the times and seasons that are in His hand, they will never come to you if you never go on your face and submit on your knees and say, God, I surrender. You may be seated. I'm going to finish the rest because I want you to get this word. We have to submit to God. The word of God says to submit to God. Submission is absolute for a child of God. Now, you can live your way and still make heaven. Meaning, you surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is your Savior. He is your God and everything. But if you never make Him Lord of your life, there are certain blessings you will never encounter. If you never submit your will to Him, you're going to struggle through life on your own all the way through. So they said, we cannot deny it. Verse 17. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. That from now, look here now, that from now they speak to no man in this name. Now they said, the gospel has spread through Jerusalem. The people in Jerusalem knows about Jesus. They heard of the miracles. Not what Jesus did, what the apostles did. They heard about the day of Pentecost. They heard of the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. But they said, we cannot let it get out of here. Remember when the COVID virus happened, they put a shutdown in Wuhan because they didn't want the virus to escape Wuhan. What they were doing? Damage control. They were trying to prevent it from spreading around the world. But who knows, some other things happened and some people got out and it went around the world and it eventually came to us. But what they were trying to do was prevent it from coming out of the parameters of Wuhan. So the same way now, they did not want the gospel to go beyond the borders of Jerusalem. But who knows, Jesus prophesied and he said to them, you shall be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, then to where? Samaria, and then what? Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And if God says it, that settles it, and no man can stop it. So, look at their response. Verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. So they threw it right back in their court. They were just using some sarcasm, and they said, if you think you can stop us after all that we have seen and heard, the next verse says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. I want to say something to you. Have you heard anything from the Spirit of God? Have you seen the mighty hand of God? Have you seen the healing power of God in your life? Have you encountered the living Christ? If you have not, I want to ask you right now to begin praying and say, Holy Ghost, open my eyes that I may see Jesus. Open your ears that I may hear his voice. Right now, just pray. Say, God, I want to be like the apostles. I want to have an encounter. I want to have an encounter. I want to see and I want to hear. Because when you see and you hear, you have no choice but to go and tell. There is nothing and there is no one that will be able to stop you. He said, there is no way we can do that, because what I've seen, we were witnesses. We were witnesses with Jesus. We saw the demon possessed man go free. We saw the blind eyes open. We saw deaf ears pop open. We saw the lame walk. Listen, when you've seen it and you've been you were at, for instance, you're at a crime scene, you've seen the crime, you become a witness. You become a witness. So now, even if someone threatens you and says, if you only say anything, we're going to kill you out. But something boils way down in your belly. And you said, I cannot stand to see injustice like this. I'm going to go and I'm going to testify. It was the same thing that was in these men. The Spirit of God was boiling in their bellies. And they said, we cannot but speak what it is we have seen and what it is we have heard. It doesn't matter what damage control the devil tries to put. I want to tell you this morning, the church of Jesus Christ is alive and it is powerful. And the word that we have is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the anointing that we have is potent and it is powerful. We can do all things through Christ. So we are now responsible for our encounter. Every one of us sitting here, we are responsible to steward the encounter. Write this down. You are responsible to steward the encounter you had with Jesus. You are now responsible to go and tell. You're now responsible to go and demonstrate. For you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, Acts 1:8, and you shall be my witnesses. All of us have a responsibility to become the witnesses of Christ. Amen. We have the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. And it will not be limited. It is not limited by your environment. The only person that can limit the gospel is you and I. We are the only people, because we have to steward it. If you have $10 in your pocket, it is up to you to spend it or keep it. It is up to you to waste it or to use it wisely. It is not the person's responsibility next to you. Sometimes we say, my kids make me spend out all my money. I want to tell you, parents, nothing goes like that. The kid didn't reach into your bank account or into your pocket and took all your money and went and spent it. No, you did not have the self-control and you did not have the understanding concerning how much you have, and you spent it out. Do not blame the children. Sometimes we make excuses why it is we are not witnesses for Christ. We say, the weather is not good, number one, weather. because we're all afraid of the weather when it comes to preaching. But when it comes time to go to work, we all burst right through the weather. When it's time for us to go to the doctor, even if hail is hitting your head, you're going to the doctor. You might fracture your skull on the way there, but you're going. And then the doctor has to take care of whatever you had the appointment, plus now he has to fix your skull. But you're going. We are responsible to steward what God has given to us. The anointing that God has put in your life, you are responsible to utilize the anointing. The Bible said the gifts of God are without repentance. You see, the gift of Elisha or the anointing, the mantle that was upon Elijah has not left the earth. Mantles do not leave the earth. How do we know that? Because the mantle went on Elisha. The mantle went on Elisha. So we have to steward what God has given to us. When you get saved, your next goal in life is to go forth and tell somebody about Jesus. You have to go forth and tell. That's why the man says, we cannot help it. When you encounter the Lord, you got to go forth and preach. And look, my example, just walking. Come, example, come. Let's give the Lord a hand. This is my mom. Now, my mom got saved in 1981, right? 1981. You see how young and trim she is? You know, how old are you?
68.
She's 68 years old. You see, she looked tired. How does she look? She looked fit. What else? Energized. You know what keeps her energized? The power of the Holy Ghost. You see, she can't stay still. You know, yesterday what she did? She had a service last night, 5 p.m. She had a service this morning at 8 o'clock. And here she is still shaking, ready to go to do the work of God. Because what? The fire is on the inside. And since 1981 to now, she cannot but tell what she has seen. She cannot but, right, she just told someone about Jesus and got a number on the street. Amen? Praise God. Thank you. But what I'm saying, we are responsible. We are responsible to use what God has deposited within us. Now, we say, oh God, all I can do is pray. All I can do is pray. And you think that's not much. But the Bible says, if you steward your prayer, more will be given to you. He said to those who have, more will be given. How do we know that? Remember the men that were given the talents? One was given 5, 3, and 1. The one that had 1, he said, I don't have anything to offer. I'm going to take it and bury it. Many of you are sitting in here today with buried talents. You're watching me online and you've buried your talent, the gifts and the talents that God has given to you. You put it in the ground because you consider it insignificant. You think that I do not have nothing to offer just because you're quiet, because you seem a little shy, you're afraid of crowds, you're afraid of people, whatever it is. Some of you say, all I could do is just pray. But can I tell you, if you begin praying, God is going to add more to your prayer. How can I prove that? All I was a drummer in the church. And I drummed faithfully. That is all I did at age 15. I played the drums. Now, I played it faithfully every single week. And I went there and rehearsed during the week as well. Then when the worship leader, who was my sister, left because she got married, she transitioned to another church, who did they call on to lead the worship? The drummer, the faithful one. They didn't look for somebody that came to church once a month. I was no great singer. I'm still not. But I was no great singer. I could not go through one song with the proper pitch. I sing multiple pitches by myself because I had no choir, Brother Robin. One time my uncle came to me and he said, and no, he don't even know to sing, but he said, man, that kind of singing don't sound good. You understand? But what I did, I kept singing. What I did? I stored my gift. I kept using it. I was the only guitarist and singer. I kept on singing. And that lasts for quite a while. That lasts from 2003 till about 2018, 2019. No, maybe like 2017. You have to remain diligent. You have to remain consistent. You can't just use it one day and then when you get tired, you pack up. Too often that's how we operate in the things of God. We do it for a little while and then we don't do it again. We usher a couple days, then we don't usher. I don't feel like ushering. I don't feel God is telling me to usher anymore. And the stupid pastor allow you to do it. I'm the pastor. No. We have to lead people in the things of God. We have to show people the ways of God. We cannot allow the children to lead the family. No, parents got to lead the house. In the house of God, the kids can't lead the house. The daddy leads the house. Now, so you are responsible for what God is depositing. So now, if we do not open our mouths, or number one, we do not recognize what God has put within us and steward it. So I kept on singing and playing until then. Then God blessed me. I became a minister. I kept being faithful. That's all I was doing. I was a minister after that. Then after a few years, God said, okay, you're going to become a pastor after that. But I was still playing music and singing. But faithfulness has a way of paying off. I said faithfulness has a way of paying off. Today, look what God has done. All because I understand the value of what God had deposited on the inside of me. So all I had to do was be faithful with what God has given. Because to him that had, more shall be added. The man with the 5 talents was given what? 5 more. But the man with the little one that put it in the ground. Watch me. Watch me. What happened? It was taken from him. Tell somebody, use it or lose it. Too many of us find reasons not to use our giftings and our talents. We find reasons why we are not doing the work of God. Isn't this the only thing that will last? Let me help you. The Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where rot and moth do not cause it to decay, nor thieves break in and steal. Lay up treasures in heaven. So we are responsible for what is deposited. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. I need the Amplified, guys. Give me the Amplified version. It says, but we have this treasure. What do we have? Now, the Amplified says, Amplified, guys. We have this precious treasure. The King James says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. But what we need to see is that this treasure, it's not common. You have the Holy Spirit within you who is a precious treasure, meaning now the good news about salvation is in you. In unworthy earthen vessels. Did we deserve it? Come on, did you deserve it? No, we did not deserve it. Because we have human frailties. So that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, his sufficiency, and not from ourselves. So we have a deposit within us that is from God. That is so precious and powerful and so potent that can transform destinies of people. So now, if we do not steward it, use it, what's going to happen to the people around us? The Bible says, how can they hear except they have a preacher? We have to go out and be witnesses for God. Peter and John said, we can but help it. We have to do it. So then, after having them in prison overnight, they released them. They released them, and they said, go, but do not preach. Now, they went to their people. Everybody was excited. But what I want to bring to your attention, they did not pray and say, Lord, help us not to get into trouble anymore. Oh, God, help Peter and John not to ever get arrested. Let's look what they prayed for. Acts 4:29-31. It says, Now the Lord looked on their threats. Who looked on the threats? Do you know the Lord knows everything you go through? Sometimes you feel like when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to fear the evil. The scripture said, you shall not fear the evil, but you feel like you're all alone. You feel like no one is with you. And can I tell you, that's probably true. Nobody's with you. You're there alone, but somebody is in you. Hello? Nobody's with you, but somebody is in you. God is in you. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you, but I will be with you to the what? To the end. Now, Lord, look on their threats. You see, you got to commit things to God, church. Too many times we try to fight our battles on our own. Here, the disciples committed the threats that were made against them unto the Lord. Casting every fear on him because what? Every care on him because he cares for you. Look on the threats. And grant your servants that with what? All, how much? No. How much? So even no matter the level of the threat, their boldness will match every threat. Rather, their boldness will outdo every threat. I want to tell the church, God is giving you boldness to stand no matter what adversity comes your way. Whatever the pressure the enemy desires to bring, God will empower you to stand your ground. That with all boldness, they may speak your word. They did not pray for the trouble to pass. They pray for the power to go through. They pray for the power to overcome. Listen, we got to change the way we pray. We don't pray the little, oh, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look upon this little. No! You pray, God, in the name of Jesus, I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost that the fire of God will visit that situation. Let the word, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, meaning the hot prayers. God is looking for people that will pray hot prayers. We have a 24-hour prayer coming up on July what? 14th? Yes, July 14th. The last day of our week of fast, we're holding a 24-hour prayer. We're going from 6 p.m. Friday night all the way to 6 p.m. Saturday. God is looking for some fervent prayer. Let me see who is planning on being here for 24 hours to pray. Yes, we got to get fervent, church. Set the day aside. Set your schedule. You have a long time. The 14th of July, and be here. Invite someone. Say, come to prayer. We're going to go pray. We're going to go into the presence of God. We want to see glory. We want to see power. We want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. So we're going after it. By stretching out your hand to heal. Now, they're backing it up. Didn't I just say we want to see miracles, signs, and wonders? These guys were being released from jail. Now they're praying, give them all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand, God, to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, what happened? The place shook. Where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. God is looking for us to be strong. He said in Ephesians 6 verse 10, it says, in conclusion or finally, be strong in the Lord. Meaning draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. Don't draw strength when somebody is shouting loud, then you shout loud. Shout loud because of what it is that has happened on the inside of you. That's why I encourage you, pray that you will hear and pray that you will see. Say, guys, open, Lord, rather open the eyes of my spirit. Open the ear of my spirit that I may hear with the ear of faith. I may see with the eyes of the spirit. Draw from your relationship with God. If there's no relationship, there's nothing to draw from. Think about a husband and a wife. A husband comes, always wants love, hug, and kisses. But if you don't have no relationship with his wife, if he's not talking to her all the time and he's not greeting her, she'll be like, oh, here you go again. But if you have relationship, you walk up and you get a look. And then you get what? Their fellowship. You gotta have relationship. You gotta enjoy the presence of the Holy Ghost. Mighty God, you gotta enjoy laying down and praying in the presence of God. You gotta enjoy kneeling before Him. If you don't know why to kneel, just kneel because I kneel. If you don't know why to prostrate, just say, Pastor, prostrate, I'm prostrating too. Because what? Paul said to them, follow me as I follow Christ. What did Jesus do? He went up to the mountain and prayed. So what we're doing? We're praying. We're spending extensive time in prayer. Last night, you know, we were up for like an hour and a half. We were praying for you. We were in prayer. We had a prayer breakfast yesterday morning. We prayed for like maybe 2 hours over there, an hour and a half. But then last night, the leaders got together on the phone and we were praying for you again. Why? Because we want God to move on your behalf. That's what they were doing. They wanted God to use the apostles in a mighty and a powerful way. So they were there praying that it may happen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His boundless might. There is no limitation to the power of God. Do not draw a line around God and say, oh, I know God could provide a job. I know God can provide me a car. I know God can make my child get into a good school. I know God can provide a good job for my husband. But God can't do nothing outside of that. Don't put limits on God. He said, I'm out to bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above you could ever ask, think, or imagine, because there is a boundless power that is working in you. Don't put limits on God, man. He didn't say to be strong in your might or in your mama's might or your grandma's might or your grandpa's might. No, he said be strong in the Lord. Haggai 2:4 says, God said to Zerubbabel, he said, but now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. He was in a place where he thought the temple would have never been rebuilt because everybody was comfortable in their house, building up their own homes. But he said, watch here now, Zerubbabel, get yourself in order. Get your mind in alignment with the Spirit of God. Sometimes you got to speak to yourself and say, mind, line up with the Word. Spirit, line up with the Word. Body, line up with the Word. He says, oh, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord, be strong, oh, mighty God, even the water's running. Hallelujah. Oh, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, be strong also, you people of the land, declares the Lord. Next word says, work. Be strong in the Lord. And work. Why does God need to make me strong? It's so that I can work. Before Eve met Adam, you know what Adam was doing? Working. So all of you who don't like to go to work, I got news for you. God says go to work. You prophesy. Work. He says, work, build, Don't slow down. Do not relent. Do not give up because of who is not with you. Too many times we do the work of God because of who's with us. If your friend said they're not going outreach, you ain't going either. If your friend said they're not picking you up to take you to outreach, I'm not going either. If you don't get the ride to church, you're not coming to church. This is not for you guys because you're here. You know, it's just for like. Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Now, another thing I want to talk to you about, the way we do the work of God. Sometimes we do the work of God with the last bit of joy that we have. When it comes to the work of God, we drag and we do it. We have no joy. We have no enthusiasm. We find no pleasure in it. God is saying, it is time for us to change our concept about his word. He says, it gives me good pleasure to bless you. God says it gives me good pleasure to bless you. So how should we then do the work of God? We ought to do the work of God with pleasure. We ought to do the work of God with joy. And it should make us happy. Happy. Says, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What do you think Joshua was doing? He was working for the nation of Israel to get them into the promised land. He was not just being a pretty boy. He was not just getting ready and, you know, looking good. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking fine. No, he was busy fighting. He was busy leading the men to war. God is looking for generals that he can put his hand on them that will lead people in prayer, that will lead people in worship, that will lead people in evangelism, that will lead people to clean the church, that will lead people to do hospitality ministry, that will use people to lead small groups. Anything that leads someone to Christ, God is looking to put his hands on you. First Corinthians 16:13 said, this was Paul's church, he says, be alert. Be alert. Stay alert, church. Keep your eyes. That's why I told you, pray that your spiritual eyes be open. So when the enemy is about to launch an attack on you, you are ready. Your eyes are wide open. And the enemy, after a while, he gets accustomed. He said, no. She's always too ready. He is always too ready. I can't wait. Let me look for another jellybox Christian that I could shoot a dart at them. But when you are alert, an army that is alert, the enemy thinks twice about attacking them, because you know the counterattack is ready. You got to be ready. The Bible says we are not ignorant concerning the devices of the devil. Be alert. Stand firm in faith. Be men of courage. I want to speak to the men this morning. The Bible says be men of courage. Spur people on to good works. Be strong. Be tenacious. Have some grit. We see the women start to always at church, always ready to pray. But do you know that there was a man named Simeon in the Bible that when Jesus came into the temple, he says, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. He was a prophet in waiting to see God's word come to pass, because the Holy Spirit visited him and says, your eyes shall see. So it's time for my brothers to begin seeing. We got to stand up. Listen, this work of God is for everybody. It's not only for women, it's for men. I know in our circles, the men are busy with every other thing. But I tell you, I want some Peters and I want some Pauls this morning that will rise up and say, I'm one of those men. I'm going to be fierce. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to be a man. When it comes to spiritual things, We all want to man it on the job. We all want to man it with the money. But when we show up before God, he's going to say, you poor, wretched, naked. Second Timothy 2:1 says, therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. First Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speak, he should speak as one conveying the word of God. If anyone serves, he should serve with the strength God provides. It all comes from God. So that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Whatever we do it with the right Spirit, motivated by the Spirit of God. Amen. Now his Spirit and our Spirit becomes what? One. His Spirit and our Spirit becomes one because he becomes our leader. So they didn't pray that the threats will cease and the Sanhedrin will give them, or the Jewish high court would give them an easy time. They said, no, God, fill us with boldness. And the Bible says, what two shall agree is touching, what's going to happen? It shall be done. Whenever you get together and you pray, do not take your prayers lightly. Do not take your prayers for granted. We got to stand firm knowing that the Bible says in Matthew 18:19, again, I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, what shall happen? It shall be done. If you ask my Father in heaven, it shall be done. Go back to Acts chapter 4. And look at they prayed the prayer they asked. And they said, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. The people esteemed them highly, and the believers were increased. This is Acts 5, sorry. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both what? Men and women. If we get busy and we become so full of the Holy Ghost and we become excited for what he's doing and we move out with boldness, the result will be men and women coming into the house of God. But if you are not excited for what God has done in you, why should the unbeliever be excited? The reason a lot of people never come to church, because we never paint the church with good brush. We never paint the church with a good brush. We talk all the negative things about the church. We don't talk about the good things that are happening in your church. How many of us on a weekly basis tell someone, I love my church. My church is a great church. People get saved at my church. People get healed at my church. People get their breakthroughs at my church. My pastor preaches with passion and he's giving it his all. No. Yeah, go to that church. Yeah, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to that church. What's your church? Oh, Faith Church. But if when someone asks you what church you go to, oh, yeah, man, I go to church, man. If somebody asks you what club you went to, oh, yo, I found this club, bro. It's off the hook. Right, Minaj? When you speak about a club you go to, you don't speak about a club, oh, yeah. Yeah, I go there or something. No, you're excited because you go there and you have a good time. But yet we come to church and we have a good time and we get our needs met and we encounter the Holy Ghost. And when we talk about our church, we talk about it so lightly. We don't paint a good picture of what God is doing. We are doing a poor job of expressing the goodness of God. So I want you this week, when you go out and somebody asks you what church you go to or you get an opportunity, what you gonna say? You see, that's why you got to get some passion like Grandma Dolly. You know, after church, see her and let her rub off on you. Right. You tell them what church you go with boldness, man. If two people does that, three people then do it, four people do it. We have no space for people. It'll become wildfire, man. Yeah. We gotta, you see, these guys, they were passionate. No threats could have stopped them. No threats could have stopped them. They were not fearful of the court. Even the court tried to settle them. They said no. You know, imagine the sheriff comes and he puts a stamp on the door and he says, close. You know, they come, they put the chain and they lock, and they lock the church. Or you think I'm gonna stop preaching? I'm going to find somewhere to preach. Because I cannot help but tell what I've seen and what is it I've heard. I'm going to preach it wherever it is. If it's on the street, we did it before, we're going to do it again. Listen, when we didn't have no space during COVID, we built a stage outside and we preached on the street for months. If it rained, we preach. If it's sunshine, we preach. Who remember those days? If you weren't here, go online. It's all on Facebook. You could see it. We cannot but help. The authority is yours. I want to give you this one scripture. Psalms 8 verse 2 says, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. The weakest Christian is more powerful than all of hell. The person that got saved today is more powerful than all of hell combined. Because if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. All things are past. All things become new. So all authority that was given to Christ is now given to you. You have a power. You have power and authority to bind and to loose. So do not think yourself insignificant today. I don't know to pray long, but you know to pray. I don't know to sing good, but you can sing. I don't know to read the Bible a lot, but you can read something. All you got to do is tell somebody. Look at this. Why you think God give you that power? Because of your adversaries. Why did God give you the power? It's because of who is against God's agenda. He didn't give you the power to show off. He gave you the authority to defeat the devil, to defeat the powers of darkness. Way back in Psalms, David recognized the authority of the saint of Almighty God. He placed it way down in you that you may silence the enemy. God wants to silence every adversary in your life. He wants you to take charge, recognize what he has deposited within you, and move out with strength. Move out in authority. Move out. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go, Almighty God, preach, share, tell, encourage, build up, strengthen, call someone in the week, pray with them, call someone in the week, share a word with them, give them some encouragement because of what you have seen and what it is you have heard. Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Just somebody just begin praying in the spirit right now. Somebody just begin praying. Just begin praying. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The authority is yours. You have been equipped. You are empowered. The word of God says, after you have done all, just stand. Just keep working. Just keep moving. Do not relent. Do not push. Do not settle for less. Steward what he has given to you. He has entrusted the treasures. The precious treasures of the kingdom has been entrusted to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody pray in the room this morning. Just say, God, make me that vessel. Make me a mouthpiece. Make me, God, a good testament of what you're doing in your house. Let me be a carrier of good news. Let me be a carrier of the works of God. Let me demonstrate. They pray that signs and wonders will be done. If you have a desire today, say, God, put healing in my hands. Put power in my mouth. Oh, let the authority be recognized in my life. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up. In the name of Jesus, God is looking for men and women that will be busy about his business. He's looking for men and women that will take the challenge. In the aftermath of Christ's burial and resurrection, dead burial and resurrection, the disciples did not settle. Didn't they not sit back, but they became active. After they received the Holy Ghost, they moved out into the community with authority and with power. And they went out and they demonstrate the power of God. Hallelujah. If you're here and you never accepted Jesus into your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to make it right today. The Bible says, with the mouth, with the heart you believe, Romans 10:9, and with the mouth you confess. If you would confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, would you just slip your hands up and I'll be happy to pray with you today. If you have not submitted your life to the Lord, you're saying, I did not make it right with God. I just need to get right with him. Or maybe you've been saved, but you've drifted off and you've done things your way, you've lived your way, and you're saying, Lord, I'm coming home today. After hearing this word, I'm convinced that you're working in me and I need you. I'm gonna live for you. Is there anyone here? Just put those hands up. If you're online, do the same. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, just move through this room. Move through this room in a mighty way. Rabba kanada masaya. He kanda rama shokoresa. He kanada masoto. He rabba shatada masaya debe kero bosha. Lord, touch your people. Reveal yourself to them. Reveal yourself, reveal yourself, reveal yourself, reveal yourself in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to the third point. If you're saying, I want to be a testament of what God has done, I want to be a mouthpiece, I want to be a carrier, I want to be part of what God is doing in the earth, I will not be held back, I will not be controlled by whatever the enemy is trying to do and launch at me, but I'm going to persevere with boldness and do the work of God. Would you lift your hands today? I just want to pray with you. If you want to become, you want to have some movement in your life for God, you want to do what God has called you to do. You want to steward your gifts. If your gift is greeting, if your gift is giving someone a cup of water, just lift your hand. Whatever simple, you know your gift, you know your talent, and you want to use it for God, just put those hands up. I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes, put those hands up. Keep them going up. Don't be shy. You step out in faith. God will meet you at the point of your faith. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for these right now. Lord God, for those who are coming into their lives to you. Lord God, those who are drawing near to you. And lastly, those who are saying, I'm going to use my gifts and my talents. I'm going to speak on your behalf. I'm going to testify of your power and your anointing. God, I pray, Holy Ghost, you will touch them right now. You will empower them. You will liberate their spirits. Everything that binds them, every spirit of shame, every spirit of depression, oppression, every heaviness, every yoke, are commanded to be broken broken now in the name of Jesus. Arabashata, I pray liberty in the spirit. I decree and declare liberty, those online. I decree and declare liberty of the Holy Ghost. Marabaso koroshaya, ye kandara masata, ye kerabosekia, yeba samandarabasialarabashodobo. In the name of Jesus, let it be done for your honor and for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I want to do one more call. If you're here and you're saying, I want to commit to the work of God, I want to become a member of Faith Church, would you just slip your hands up? If you're here and you feel God is saying, this is your home church, just lift your hands up. If you're not a member yet and you're saying, I want to commit, yes, keep those hands going up. Yes, I see you. I see you. Father, I pray for these that are committing. Right now, I pray, God, that a double portion will come towards them. Even as they see the need, God, to commit to your work, I pray, God, that your special touch will be upon them now. In the name of Jesus, them and their households, in the powerful name of Jesus, we decree and we declare that it is done in Jesus' name. Amen. After service, those who just put your hands up, see Pastor Cher, and she will tell you the next steps to sign up for our membership class the first Sunday of next month. Amen. Over to Pastor Abby. God bless you. Amen.